The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the middle of the week, the beginning of February. Why do we like February so much? Because it's before March. Welcome in. Great to have all of you with us here today on what should be a very interesting National Signing Day. Yes, you heard me say that correctly. This is unlike any other National Signing Day we've had in a long time because most of the work has already been done, although there have been some late commitments, and we'll talk to Tom Van Heren about that in just a moment. Let's get to some headlines here. And Hooker at the Senior Bowl is the big question of the He wants to be the best version of himself, whatever that means. That's a phrase I hear a lot, but for Hendon Hooker, it seems to be working. And Nick Saban talking NIL. What about this Coach Saban? He said in a speech the other night that some players wanted money. Coach, it's hard to believe that young people today would want something to stay wherever they are. We'll talk to the writer of that article coming up here in just a few minutes. Speaking of show me the money, well, Jaden Rashada didn't like what he saw at Florida, so he is now going to Arizona State. Coach there has his back, which means the coach in Gainesville apparently did not. So this is what it looks like as of this hour and probably not going to change very much. Bama number one. Georgia with a big commitment signed today. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. LSU in the three position, the aforementioned Florida, even without Rashada at four. A&M from 1 to 5. Carolina got a monster commitment today. Tennessee, and you can see the rest. Auburn, Arkansas State, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Mizzou, and Vanderbilt. Tom Van Heren with the latest on recruiting. Tom, thank you. We mentioned it's different than most National Signing Days, but that has changed a couple of years ago. So what have you been watching today as we welcome you to our program? Good afternoon.
Yeah, there hasn't been much to watch, that's for sure. And I've kind of advocated for changing the verbiage on this, that the December early signing period should just be the signing period, right? And this is maybe the February signing period, but you're right. South Carolina, I think that was a big one. He's signed and sealed now. Nicholas Harbor, a 6'5", 225-pound athlete. He's 6'5", Paul, but he just ran a 6.66 60-meter dash, which is incredible. He's an athlete that really could play defensive end, tight end, wide receiver. I think South Carolina probably used him on the offensive side, but that was a huge, huge get for Shane Beamer and his staff. And you know, I look at what he's been able to do, even on the field. I think they have a lot of momentum going forward. And so with very few prospects on the board, that was a big one. And then you mentioned Jaden Rashada, the quarterback, who had been signed with Florida, got out of his national letter of intent. Now he's with Arizona State. And it made a lot of sense for him to pick Arizona State. His father, Harlan, played there in the 90s. And Kenny Dillingham, the head coach at Arizona State now, he's had a lot of success with quarterbacks in the past, and he got the chance to sit down with Rashada and his family and talk to them about what they could do. And I think what was interesting about his recruitment, his second recruitment, Paul, was that I heard from two separate sources that NIL was not at the forefront of the discussions. It was not part of the process this time going forward. I think they probably maybe learned a lesson from the last time and said, we need to put that behind us. The NIL money will come once he gets on the field, and it wasn't part of the discussions this time around.
Interesting, Tom, considering the hullabaloo that has gone with him. So there were very few big players left. I just saw a minute ago Georgia got one as well. What's all that about?
Yeah, that was a 2024 prospect. Oh, so they're okay. Already working on the next
wow.
class.
They're not wasting any time.
No, they had most of their class signed already, so it made sense. But he's a five-star in the 2024 class, and if you look at what Georgia has done, I tweeted this out, the past six recruiting classes, Georgia has not had a recruiting class outside the top five, which is incredible. And what they're doing now in 2024, they have the most ESPN Junior 300 commitments in the next class already. They have nine prospects in the top 300 committed. That's the most of any program. That's pretty incredible. And you think about what Kirby Smart's doing there in the era of the transfer portal and players leaving. He's bringing in some of the top recruits, and he's not really losing a ton of players through the portal. So I always tell people, even if you don't follow recruiting, you can see the health of a program through what's happening on the recruiting trail. And what Kirby Smart and his staff are doing right now at Georgia, it's pretty remarkable. It's at a very, very elite level. It's at almost a Nick Saban-esque level.
Explain the psychology behind committing on National Signing Day a year out.
That's a great question, and I've had a lot of people tweet at me and ask the same thing and say, why should we care? This kid is, one, going to decommit, and two, transfer later. And so, you know, even for the fans, it's hard for them to grasp this. But a player, you know, that's been through the process, that's an elite-level player that has already taken visits, has already seen what he's needed to see, I think for some of these guys, it can be inundating with coaches calling, with reporters calling. There's so much on their plate now that they can't be high school kids. And so sometimes for some of these prospects to get it over with and stake their claim and become a part of the class and help recruit, it just makes sense for them to do that and jump on board early. And I think that's probably what happened in this case. Now, saying that, usually what happens is they still end up taking visits and we still have to track their recruitment as they go, leading into their signing period in December. So we'll see what happens. He's committed for now, and it's a big get for Georgia.
But it is indicating the obvious here, that Georgia is a monster right now, and their class next year, assuming it holds up, is possibly even better than what we're looking at today, which is still pretty good.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's number two right now, and they've got some guys that I think maybe could contribute early in this class. And, you know, like I said, the transfer portal has been such a big part of everyone's recruiting process, and you've got to bring guys in that can help right away, where Georgia, they've got depth now at each position, where they've brought in some really good transfers as well to fill some gaps, but they're not relying on it to fill the roster, and they're developing a lot of these five stars and top 50 prospects to where they're at a place now where if there's an immediate need at receiver, they saw a need there. They went out and got a few transfers there. That's a hole that was filled, but now they can keep going and keep landing high school recruits where the transfer process isn't impacting their high school recruitment. And what I mean by that is if you bring in a quarterback every single year out of the transfer market, it's likely going to impact what high school prospects are going to want to come to your school because they want a shot at playing and they want to know what's going to happen, that they'll have a chance to play. So I think Georgia is in such a good spot right now for this year, for next year, even the year after that, that they have built up so much depth going forward with elite level players, and they're not losing very many that I just, it's hard to imagine them not in the college football playoff picture for the next 3 to 4 years.
Tom, you mentioned Alabama. Their class this year is in rarefied air. Describe nothing happened today, but give us your view of what Nick Saban brought in a couple of weeks ago and what it looks like for them moving forward, other than good.
Yeah, good is not good enough to describe what they did. And, you know, I have a feeling that Nick Saban took it personal when Jimbo Fisher got the number one class last year, where Nick Saban went out and showed everybody that he still got it and he can still recruit at an incredible level. And we're talking about maybe a historic class, that they've got 23 ESPN 300 recruits in this class. But I looked at it, Paul, outside of Georgia, Alabama has more top 150 prospects in their class than the rest of the top 10 in the class rankings have in top 300 players. They've got more top 150 players than top 300 players. That is incredible to think. And you look at the way that the top 10 classes have recruited, they have really good classes, but no one is at the level in this cycle as Alabama, and they've signed some guys that I think can help right away. Surprisingly, I think offensive line was a need for Alabama, so they added some pieces there. They were able to flip a five-star in Caden Proctor from Iowa. He signed in December. They were also able to get a big commitment from a defensive end, Keon Keeley, who I think could make a big splash for them, whether it's this year or next. So historic levels for this class, 23 in the ESPN 300, most of those ranked in the top 150 as well.
Of course, Nick Saban at the top of the heap. Tom, thank you. We appreciate it. A ho-hum National Signing Day, but next year is already underway. We'll head to the break. Take your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. We'll update you on a couple of other stories making the rounds, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We got Thamel from the Senior Bowl and Nick Alvarez, the AL.com recruiting reporter, on what Nick Saban said the other night to a group of coaches that has drawn a lot of conversation. Well, the bill is in, $56,000, and something tells me it will be paid for without too much difficulty. That was some of the damages after the national championship game. That was 3 weeks and 2 days ago. What's the biggest bill you've ever racked up in terms of creating damage? Let's go to John in Louisville first up. Hey, John.
I've never been sued, but hey, Paul, I almost had a heart attack this morning. I heard the GOAT had retired, and then I realized it was only Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady, a year after he retired again.
And he's going to now earn Paul Feinbaum-type money over at Rival Fox. Did you note that, too?
I've heard that. It will be the biggest television contract since Stephen A. Smith last signed one.
I want to talk about the NIL, but two segments I just thought were pure entertainment, and I think it was yesterday, the first one, and that was the so-called dating game segment with Handsome Joe and Larry, where Larry hangs out at the VA, and Joe hunts cougars over at nearby Florence, right?
Yeah, well, Florence is the metropolis, the nearest metropolis to Red Bay, Alabama.
Anyways, I don't think you can replicate that old game show. I think it was with Jin Lang, but there's a new show coming out called Farmers Want Wives. And I thought that's a new reality show. And I thought you could have a reality segment somewhat similar called Callers Want Woman. You can start with Joe and Larry. And you can get it, you know, they probably only last one episode, and you get people like the Suave Legend and Mr. Cool JK, and get your production team to go out and look for some single fire plugs.
You know, it's funny, when you said the goat a minute ago, I thought you were referring to Legend.
Well, on your show, yes, that's true. The other entertainment, I think it was yesterday as well, was the gentleman named John, who wanted Nancy Sinatra and Herb Albert. And the optics were Nancy Sinatra sitting, what is she, 82, sitting in a wheelchair singing These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Yeah, he did not like the current Super Rihanna for the Super Bowl. And he right. suggested Herb Albert, Nancy Sinatra, CCR.
Guess Who.
And the Guess Who. I mean, the Guess Who are not making, assuming that you can round up any of them, and I think that would be doubtful, there will be no sugar tonight at the Super Bowl this year.
No. Years ago, I saw Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings together in Toronto, and those two do know how to rock, but not at this age. So you got Herb Albert next to her in a with an oxygen tank so he can blow his horn. And, I mean, you couldn't make it any worse
Sinatra.
Unless you...
I mean... Yeah, on her best day, she was an opening lounge act.
She was somebody's daughter. Yeah, well, yeah, you can dim the light.
Other than these boots are made for walking, and the crumbs that Francis would send her. What else did she do?
I don't know, but I the optics of that, and then I guess you can dim the stadium lights, put in a piano, and a cash jar, and you're ready to go. I guess on that, right?
I'm just trying to think if we could top John for a even worse act.
That he did it. He almost ruined my Super Bowl anticipation with it. So, Paul, in the NIL,
yes.
There seems to be some pay-for-play teams, maybe one or two of the Florida schools, LSU, Tennessee, Texas, both schools, Oklahoma, the two LA schools, and maybe Oregon. And my thought is this, if the booster becomes disenchanted and it's basically one or two boosters, they can just turn off the money or they can force the coach to be fired. I mean, it's getting kind of scary what the influence these so-called collectives, which are really boosters, can influence a school with. What do you think?
Yeah, no, John, thank you for the call. It's out of control because the schools are no longer essentially controlling it. And then the NCAA comes out the other day and talks about how it's ratcheting up enforcement on NIL. And no one has seen an NCAA enforcement officer within three time zones of a college campus lately. Let's continue with Neil in Alabama. Good afternoon, Neil.
Hey, Paul. I've got a couple questions for you. First one would be, what's the latest on Eli Gold? I hadn't heard anything out of him since for a while now, and I just wondered if he's going to be back next year, or is he gone for good, or what's going on there?
Neil, I think the answer to your question is we don't have a good answer. He made a statement almost a couple of months ago now, saying that he was doing better and was hopeful, but that's the last time we have heard from him. And I know a lot of people are very concerned, and they're concerned not only about his condition, and I say this as somebody who has been friends with Eli for 40 years, but really the dearth of information. And I understand health matters, family matters, but you know, people are public. They're public people. People genuinely care about Eli and love him and would like to at least know a little bit more about what's going on.
Yeah, Chris done a good job this year, but we did miss Eli.
Yeah, no, listen. Eli Gold is a standalone broadcaster. He's iconic, and no matter who you put behind a microphone, you don't replace a one of a kind. A charismatic broadcaster like that.
That's right. My other question would be, what would you think? What are you thinking about the coordinator situation at Alabama right now? What are your thoughts on it?
And yeah, Neil, thank you for the call. I'm out of thoughts, frankly, and I don't mean that to be a smart aleck, but we know the offensive. We know both positions remain open, and I think there has been such massive speculation. I think we're getting there. I think Nick Saban would have liked to have had the offensive coordinator spot filled already. According to reports, he offered it to Grubb from Washington, but that didn't work out. And you know, the defensive coordinator position, the Pruitt train may have sailed. I don't know. He certainly bought himself some time, hoping to get some clarification. But I think there is still some speculation on which way that's going to go. And I don't know what it is right now. Dustin is in Tulsa. Dustin, good afternoon.
Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul.
Of course, of course.
Hey, brother. I've got some breaking news about the Alabama situation. Nick Saban's actually contacted me to be his new defensive coordinator, so I'll be taking that job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You heard it here first. Hey, thanks a lot. I look forward to seeing you, you know, at some of the games.
Yeah, well, by the way, I hate to ask you this since you just got hired, but any chance you could spot me a few tickets for the Texas game?
What do you have any kind of history with? Do you have anything that would help me say, hey, coach, I need to get this guy in?
Had breakfast at his house. Would that help?
I'll ask, and okay. I'll call you tomorrow.
Hey, by the way, Dustin, don't tell him the time I was at his house. I stole one of his Little Debbie cookies.
Let's just hope he's not listening today. And if he's not, we're through it. And I won't mention it. Won't mention it to him. You have my word.
And by the way, one more thing. The one I stole. I was with Miss Terry, and I went into his cookie jar, and I stole one. And it was just my opinion because I have not ever had one before. It tasted stale.
Stale.
Like he'd been there a while. Well, like maybe he's eating. Maybe you remember when I was young, my mother would go to like the thrift bread store to get day old bread for half price. That's what it tasted like.
Well, I do know that he keeps them that way on purpose for people that want to come and
for
pilfer
thieves.
The cookie jar. He keeps the good stuff hidden there.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I fell for it. I didn't realize that. The private stash was not in the cookie jar that said Nick's cookie jar.
It's classic Nick, man. Classic Nick.
Fake
hey,
me
real
out.
Quick, I need some help from Larry if he's
okay.
Listening. I took your advice, went out hunting for, you know, the next, well, the only Mrs. Dustin, and called that woman a fire plug and didn't get anywhere with it. I decided to follow Larry's lead since he's the ladies' man around here. Last night, took a couple Viagra, small bath, and some English leather aftershave. Really successful, but now I got these two old girls from the VA, and they won't leave my house. I need to know what to get.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. I'm going way back. Between English leather, canoe, Old Spice, and High Karate, which one do you think gets the VA ladies the best?
You know, I think it's probably got to be English
leather.
One more.
Aquavelva.
I was always more of a Stetson man growing up because that's what I could.
You
got
me thinking of the drugstore colognes as a kid that we used to, you know, kind of say, well, "Do we have enough money to buy one?"
Paco Rabanne. That
yep.
was the one.
I remember that one. Oh, that was out of my league. I was. High Karate. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Hey, thanks for the call. We will take a short break. We have a long way to go. We're only 30 minutes in on National Signing Day. Some more guests on that, although there will not be very much more news. George already has a commitment for next year. That's how crazy this year is. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome all of you back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Shlomo is up next in California.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there. How are you?
Okay. It's your old pal Shlomo here.
Shlomo, where have you been?
I've been around trying to make money.
Oh, okay.
I wanted us to jump into the George Michael sports machine and go back in time to 2004.
Okay.
The day after USC beat Oklahoma and a couple days after Auburn finished the season undefeated. And the pundits are in a craze. Auburn deserves a chance. And they're talking about a BCS plus one. What impression did you get about what they wanted, and did it fruition into what it became?
Well, what happened that day was it was primarily led by the SEC commissioner at the time, Mike Slive. And what they really wanted was a plus one. That meant you would get one more game. And ultimately, they got that. But it took a while. And, you know, the BCS didn't run out till, 2013?
But what they gave us was a fifth BCS game. Not exactly a game after the BCS games.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what that proposal was. So was there? I do not remember what the actual proposal was, but that was the moment in time.
What I'm trying to get to: why don't the conferences leave the bowl games as they are, and then determine who is playoff eligible after the bowl games are over?
Well, you're talking about a very short window here. So let's say everybody plays on January 1st, the 31st, and so then what are you proposing, that this committee goes into a room and then picks the game for the next week or the week after?
Right. So what you do, you can earmark before the bowl games start. These are the odd numbers.
Yeah, but Shlomo, if I could interrupt you so we can save a lot of time here. This is what we call a moot point, considering we have a 12-team playoff starting in 2 years.
I understand. And it's hypothetical. We can't go back in time and change it. But I'm just saying it just feels more organic.
Yeah, no, I think it could have been done, but it's always the same issue, though, is that everybody's protecting their turf. And then you still have to find a site for that game. And this is when it always would get bogged down, where
they could always schedule
site beforehand. These things are not that easy to do. When you schedule a game for January 10th, and you have no idea who's going to be in the game until a couple of days before.
Well, I mean, logistics are always a problem. The Army has issues with that all the time.
Well, the Army had the backing of the federal government. Shlomo, thanks for taking us back in time, but we're going to move forward here. Gary is in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Paul. I don't know about moving forward. I was going to talk to you about 1969 in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
And the Black 14.
Let's get back in the time tunnel.
All right. Did you ever see that document? There's been a number of videos I've noticed on YouTube, but today on CBS Sports, I don't know if it'd been on before or not, but they had 1969 with Coach Lloyd Eaton and the Black 14, and it was quite a documentary. It was 1 hour long. I was wondering if you'd seen it.
I have not, no.
Paul, I'd encourage you to take a look at it. I know you would like it. It was an incredible piece. And like I said, there's been a number on YouTube that have did it, but this one is 1 hour long, and it's on CBS Sports. And it really was, you know, during the civil rights era, but it was really kind of the catalyst for a changing environment as far as collegiate sports went. I thought it was, anyways. I'm not going to tell you the ending to it because it's quite a show, but I'd encourage you to watch it.
I'll tell you what, Gary, thank you for suggesting it, and I'll take a look. We appreciate it very, very much. Pops is in Missouri.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Pops.
Yes, sir. Hello, Paul. This is Harold. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Pops. It's Pops. That's what my dad always called me, is Pops. So my old Chicago beer mud has on it is Pops. If you get a chop in Missouri, you can drink out of it if you want to. Excuse me.
You okay, Pops?
I'm about junior college basketball.
Okay.
I grew up in Mobley, Missouri, which was a powerhouse in junior college, Mobley Community College. Dan Eisel played there. Rich Richmond played there. Dan Altman coached there. Cotton Fitzsimmons coached there. And who else coached there? Spoonhauer coached there, too. So what do you see coming up with junior college basketball transfers and things into the...
Pops, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm not that aware of it, but I will definitely check it out. Thanks for the call. You take care of yourself. Jenny is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
Hey, Jenny.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
I'm just going to be a little bit like Legend for a second and go, woo-hoo, Beamer ball. How about that pickup today?
So far, that's the story of the day.
That's the story of the day. I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Do you think he'll be a tight end or a wide receiver?
I don't know. I mean, this guy, from what has been said about him, athletically is one of the, you know, the best players on the entire board. So I'll leave that to Shane, but I'm sure he could do either one.
Well, I'm telling you, he's 6'6", 225, and he's in the top three in the 100-meter and 200-meter in track.
Well, I would do whatever he wants to do.
They said he was kind of talking about wanting to be in the Olympics.
Wow, now you talk about something that's difficult and time-consuming, but he would not be the first. I mean, there have been plenty of athletes who have done both.
Right, and he still has one more season of track and field.
Right. Well, for those who don't know what we're talking about, he is called – he's been described by writers as the freak of the recruiting class, and I say that meaning that he is that is a complimentary term.
Well, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but on Facebook, Shane had a couple of photos where he was down in Harbortown in Hilton Head, pointing at the sign at Harbortown, saying, "Wait for the news."
That is great. Well, it is a big news, and what a year. What a 2 years it's been for Shane Beamer. Thank you very, very much for the call. You take care of yourself. Big Daddy in South Carolina might be on the Shane train as well.
Hello there, Coach Feinbaum, Pope Paul.
Hey, Big Daddy.
How are you, buddy? Always good to be on here. I don't get on as much as I'd like to, but then nobody does. All right. Yes, indeedy. How about our boy Beamer Ball, Shane Frank Jr.? Anyway, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Couldn't happen to a needier program. But we got the guy. And Oregon didn't. So, anyway, you still there?
Yeah, we are, Big Daddy. Listen, you tell you, well, I don't know. As soon as somebody calls today, they seem to be infected by some inability to communicate. We'll take a break. Everybody's fired up. It's National Signing Day. More on that in a few minutes. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Barry in Virginia is up next. Hello, Barry.
It's easy to see how you are an award-winning author.
Yes.
The first 30 minutes of the show, you said that train has already sailed. Have a nice day.
Was Barry dismissing me with that salutation at the end of that? Seemed like you... Seemed like he was. I mean, he pretty much said, it's over. I mean, I've had some shows that have been rocky before and have gone off the path and ended up in the Bermuda Triangle, but I've never been given last rites by some guy from Virginia named Barry. Rayshard is up next.
Hey, Paul, this is Rayshard Smith from Alabama. No relation to Stephen A. Smith, but I got his number. I just want to give you a big roll tide. Look at that number one recruiting class there. As long as Nicholas Saban is there, I never want to hear again the dynasty is over.
Rayshard, quick question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't want to hear it either, but can you claim a dynasty while your in-conference rival is about to go for a three-peat?
Oh, yes, sir, most definitely. Because we have Nicholas Saban.
Okay.
Nicholas Saban.
His middle name, I think, is Lou, by the way. So if you want to go ahead and give the whole name.
Nicholas Lou Saban. As long as he's our coach, it's always a dynasty.
Okay.
A two-peat, three-peat, or four-peat. Alabama always got that chance
to upset him. So, just for the sake of argument, next year, January 10th, we're in Houston. Kirby has just beaten somebody. You're sticking with the dynasty story, right?
Yes, sir. Roll Tide forever.
Okay. Do you think next year, as Kirby does that, Saban will sit with Pollock again? Just a thought. Let's check out Doug in Georgia. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, look, I only have about four questions, and then okay. I want to listen to your answers.
Sure.
First of all, years ago, I would hear of athletes that were ineligible due to poor grades. And I just never hear of any athlete, and there are thousands of them, not being eligible because of grades anymore. The second thing is that I would like to know what you think of the Mississippi State coaching staff, the new one. They've hired a coach to coach the ends, and yet we don't have any ends on the roster. And third, last question is about the coach at Ole Miss. He's a good recruiter, but, I mean, he's – convinced good quarterbacks to come there, and I don't know what he promised them. But anyway, I just want to hear.
No, thank you. I like what I see at Mississippi State. We had Coach Arnett on the other night, and I think he's done a good job so far. Yeah, Lane Kiffin is a great recruiter. The problem with Lane Kiffin is, as you look at his resume, can you find any really important wins during his tenure? And when I say important wins, I'm talking about against good teams. Teams that are going someplace, not just a bunch of – I mean, he beat Kentucky this year. It was a top-10 team. That was significant, except Kentucky didn't finish well. So I on the grade part, that's a good question too, because I don't think grades really – somehow with all the tutors and the academic centers, somehow, some way, these athletes are able to keep their grades above water. Maybe it's just a new era of really smart students. I'm sure that's what it is. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother, how are you? I wanted to turn to John in Louisville. Every time he called this year, this upcoming season, he's always talked smack about my football team. Look, John, let me get your facts. They're incorrect, old man. Look, yeah, does Bobby Schmidt have a pass? Like I told you so many times, it's not about character right now. It's about winning, and that's why they brought him in. Everybody's gone. His offense has done really good. He's a better quarterback. I don't think John is taking that consideration because he's a hypocrite. Yeah, these are the corners that Ole Miss, look, he did that defense there, Paul. He turned around. So, John, shut up and get your facts straight for once. Now, what do you think, Paul?
What I think is Bob Petrino does have a past. And we are coming back because we have a future. 3 hours more of this entertainment deluxe. We will get better callers, better guests. Do not dare change that channel because we know where you live.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.